Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome, New York. This is Bruce Hall. Roy G is nowhere to be found. I just hope he's not in a Nashville jail. We have some people looking for him. I think he's okay. If his beautiful wife is listening to the show, we were going to do two segments with Roy in Nashville. He's out there talking to some people about business, which is a good thing for Roy in sportsmancave.com. Glad that cat wasn't a black cat. I'm just kidding. I'm nowhere where I'd have a cat. No, don't even comment. I'll get to you.
That's because the radio knew that a cat.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you. Well, I'm just such an honest person. A lot of things going on. Miami Heat won. Well, congratulations. Okay, you got to pick your own team. You got to take them to Miami. You got to play with the guys you wanted. And I got to tell you, you've won two championships. You've won two championships. Congratulations. Here's the deal. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. It really doesn't matter to me. It means nothing to me that these guys have won another championship. Now, I enjoyed the games. They were great. It was a wonderful, wonderful series. The problem is, it's over. That's the situation. The situation is the series is over. Thank you, LeBron, for hanging in there and, you know, not choking. I think that's what's got the media so upset is that you didn't choke because they could talk another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and get that much mileage out of the event. A lot of people who know me know that I'm not a big NBA fan. I mean, I like the fact that these guys are phenomenal athletes. I like to watch games when I'm there. But I don't watch a lot of NBA basketball during the regular season because I've been to far too many NBA games where what has happened is they just sit around for three quarters running up and down the floor. We got a caller. Was that a thumbs up? It looked like you were going to your ear. Matt could never be a third base coach for me, I can tell you that right now, because I just read bunt and I was supposed to steal. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. What a surprise. Roy's in, my little co-host is in Nashville, Tennessee. My daughter Erin just moved to Nashville this week. And Erin, I hope the move is going well. Sorry, I didn't get to go down there with you, but you had a friend go with you, which is great. She made the big move from Brooklyn, New York, Manhattan, on the east side, and working up there for 8 to 10 years. I can't remember if it's 8 or 10. Excuse me, people. But we're gonna get started on stuff. We've got Gary Myers coming up at about 10:35 in the third segment of the show. Gary Myers. Coaching Confidential, inside the fraternity of NFL coaches. Gary's an insider. He's been around. He's my age almost. He went to Syracuse University. He's been around forever. He's a New York Daily News columnist. I loved him when he was on Inside the NFL. I thought he was just always so prepared. He got more information out, in my opinion, in the short amount of time that we got to hear him on that show than anybody that's ever been on it. And, you know, speaking of fraternities, there's a big fraternity in the NFL on who they'll talk to and who they won't talk to. And I may even ask Gary about that, and he may not even comment on it, but and that's perfectly okay. But in my opinion, certain columnists, certain writers, certain quote-unquote insiders, hell, I pawn myself off as an insider in my handicapping business because I tend to know a lot more about football than anybody that I talk to. Gary Myers won't be one of those people. He knows a hell of a lot more about the NFL than I do. And I'm looking to have him on the show from time to time, especially once the season starts, to keep us abreast of not only the NFL, but the New York Jets. You know, he's a big Jet guy, knows what's going on in New York Giants, too. The NFL season has become, Matt, 12 months out of the year. I mean, they don't go out and take a vacation and gain 40 pounds and go fishing anymore. They just work out 24/7. And if you're in New England and you're a tight end and you're, you know, got some problems going on, you might be doing some other things too, and we'll talk about that in a little while. Matt, what do you think about that?
What do you think about
Aaron Hernandez?
I think they should just move to the 20-game season now, just because they do so much work now. They might as well be on the field.
Well, you know, they talk
20-25 games a year, that'd be good.
Well, they need to make more of them count. If they want they want 18 games instead of 16, go to it. Just take off two of the preseason games. We don't care about preseason. I know you charge us for the games, but we don't go very often.
Who cares about preseason?
Nobody cares.
Clinton Portis was the
If I wanted to watch preseason, and be there to watch it, I'd be a Redskins season ticket holder. I don't need to go anymore. I get all the tickets I want through my business, Bruce Hall Sports, 1-800-466-4748. Gave myself a plug. It's my show. 1-800-466-4748. Leave me a message. Tickets to anywhere, anytime, for any reason. Roy, wake up. Anyway, it's okay, Roy. I wanted to be my own guest. We're going to talk baseball in the second segment. Then we're going to have Gary Myers on. I'm really looking forward to Gary. I love Clark Judge. Clark Judge, to me, knows as much about the NFL as anybody I've ever met. And Clark is, of course, in New York, too. Isn't it funny, man, how everybody that has anything to do with the NFL is within, you know, a short car ride of NFL headquarters and the Meadowlands. The stadium. It's not even called the Meadowlands anymore.
You don't find many NFL insiders in North Dakota, do you?
You know what? I think that's a problem because, you know, people, you know, the greatest thing about North and South Dakota right now is, like Canada, like Saskatchewan, let me tell you, there are jobs up there. They just have a hard time getting anybody to move there. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm moving to South Dakota. Well, no, probably not.
No, North Dakota's much better.
Well, it's warmer. And don't ask me why, but it is warmer in North Dakota than South Dakota. If anybody knows that statement is incorrect, give us a call. 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. I want you to call me. Listen, you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't care about the NBA. You know why I don't care about it? I was hearing all these comparisons about LeBron for weeks. For weeks, Matt, and about how he would just be an average player. I think Charles Barkley said it. Somebody else might have said it. Oh, maybe it was Dennis Rodman. Who knows?
NBA insider Roy Edwards was saying. Talking about it when you weren't here.
Yes, he was. But here's the deal. They were saying he'd just be another player. You know what? There were a lot more colorful and better, in my opinion, players than there are today in the game. Now, that's obviously not true. It's just the way they were packaged and the way we observed them and the way we thought about them was better. I just think it was better. There's too much negative connotation going on. Everything's negative today. Never was like that. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 News Talk 1230 WFAS with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Roy G, nowhere to be found. We're going to put his face on a milk carton here shortly, get it out there to Tennessee, see if we can find Roy. You know, one of the problems I think it was today, Roy knew he was going to be off in segment two. We had so much stuff going on here, and he is busy. And all I can hope is that he got some good news last night and he celebrated. And knowing Roy, like I know, he's a typical 26, 27-year-old kid. They're an hour behind us there. So there it's like 9:15 now. So he probably stayed up till the bars closed in Nashville, which I think is 4 o'clock in the morning because it is Tennessee. And I'm guessing he got to bed about 6 a.m. maybe. And if I'm wrong and Roy's in the hospital and he's had a stroke, I apologize, Greg.
You had this whole narrative played out in your head of what his night was.
You know
last
what?
Night.
I don't need.
You know, I just turned in early.
I don't need any. You know me. I have a conversation with myself. It doesn't matter. We're going to talk baseball real quick because we're not sure exactly when we'll be able to get this in. And to be honest with you, if Roy has been out all night and he's just, you know, he's gotten 2 or 3 hours of sleep and he comes on the show, I really don't want his opinion. Does that make sense? I just want him to be there for me. Give us a call and let us know how you feel about the NBA. Do you feel like me, Bruce Hall? Do you think that the NBA is just so overrated? And LeBron James, look, he's a quadrillionaire. He is the face of NBA basketball, but he's not the only one, right? I'll take the kid from Oklahoma City anytime. The kid from the D.C. area. I love that kid. I love him so much, can't remember his name right now, but that's just because I'm old. I'm Bruce Hall. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Excuse me. But we're going to talk baseball now. We're going to start from the top. All you handicappers out there that are doing good in bases, just remember, when you play baseball, and, you know, this is if you really play it, like if you're in Vegas or whatever. If you play baseball, and all the information I'm giving you is obviously just for entertainment purposes only. But, you know, people love this stuff. Minnesota is at Cleveland. Carrasco is going for the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland is still 2 games above 500. They've righted the ship a little bit. But as of right now, they're not in the playoffs. I'm going to pass on the game. Both pitchers are terrible. Especially Carrasco, almost given up a run an inning the last 3 starts. Baltimore is at Toronto. Josh Johnson going for Toronto. He's righted his ship. His ERA in the last 3 starts, less than 2, 1.86. Garcia, you know, after 2 or 3, you know, pretty good starts with his split finger, he's done. Take Toronto, give the minus 140. That means, you know, you would, if you were in Vegas, you'd, you know, play 140 to win 100. It's worth the odds. Boston is at Detroit. DuBrunt for Boston, who's off and on been pretty good this year. He's got a 4-3 record, 8-5 when he starts. Going up against a Justin Verlander, who everybody thought was all world. You know, if I'm the American League manager for the All-Star game, I'm not even picking the guy. He isn't my pick. He's not one of my top 12 pitchers. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to play the game, though, because they are at home, and they won yesterday at home, and they need – if they win this one, they win 3 out of 4 games, and that will put them a minimum of 3 games ahead of Cleveland. So I'm passing on the game. Tampa Bay is at the New York Yankees. You know, even though Nova has looked anything but stellar lately – I still like the Yankees playing in Yankee Stadium on a Sunday against a team that plays in a big gym, the Tampa Bay Rays. Guys, please build a baseball field so the fans can be treated to what the game is about. Nobody wants to watch a baseball game in a gym, trust me. I'm taking the Yankees. The number, just in case you're wondering, is pick. It's a pick game, so it's not costing you any odds. Play 100, you win 100 points, not dollars. Chicago White Sox, you got Axelrod, who has pitched very well at times and very spotty at times, going against a former Tampa Bay Ray, Shields. Shields has been stellar. You got to take Kansas City in this game. I don't see any way around it. Kansas City, by the way, is only 4 games under 500. They're trying to keep things winning there. George Brett is now there. Hitting instructor, quote unquote. He's probably going to end up being their manager, quote unquote, before too long if they don't win. I really like George Brett. George Brett knows more about hitting than anybody that the Kansas City Royals have. Charlie Lau, he was a big Charlie Lau. For those of you who know Charlie Lau, he was the hitting instructor back in the 70s and 80s. They kind of turned baseball around. He taught staying inside the ball and keeping the ball out of the air, going the other way. And that's the way all kids are taught nowadays. If they're taught right, you can't throw the bat at the ball anymore. You got to stay inside the ball, let it get in on you, and drive it wherever you can square it up, guys. Oakland's at Seattle. Bonderman has actually pitched very well his last three starts. He's only given up two runs in 20 innings. And Jared Parker, who has also pitched very well, but not as good as Bonderman, is pitching against him. I'm going to pass on the game. This could go either way. You know, the Oakland A's are in first place. They're only a game ahead of Texas, but they're playing. They're 12 games over 500. You got to love what Oakland's doing. Billy Bean, my hat's off to you. I know a lot of guys don't like you. A lot of guys don't like me either. I'm controversial, Marty. Am I being controversial enough? You know, that's the truth. A lot of people don't like me, but they don't even know me. And I feel the same way about Billy Bean. You know, all Billy Bean's going to do in Oakland is win. They need a stadium, though. What a piece of crap ballpark they have to play in. Billy, I'll get you that stadium. Just hire me. Interleague games. Houston is at the Chicago Cubs. You got Lyles, who has pitched extremely well in the last three starts. 21 innings. He's only given up three runs against Jeff Samardzija, former wide receiver with Notre Dame, now one of the best pitchers in the Cubs organization. Samardzija, you know, I took the Cubs today. I like them. And the only reason I like them is because they need a win. And they're playing Houston, who, by the way, is playing extremely well. Bo Porter. Bo, this is Bruce. I'm the guy that was sat behind you for all the games that I could make in my season tickets, in my seats in Nationals Park. You used to come over and shake the hand of one of the goofiest guys I know before every game. And he did the same thing, and Bo was one of the nicest guys I ever met. He's doing a great job in Houston. They're only three or four games back. If you'd have said to Bo Porter, or anybody for that matter, that has anything to do with baseball, if Houston was four wins fewer than the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at this point in the season, wouldn't you have taken it? Of course you would have. Well, guess what? They've won 29. The Angels have only won 33. Bo Porter, great job, no matter what everybody says. Pittsburgh's at L.A. Speaking of the Angels, you got Charlie Morton, who lost the only game in Pittsburgh that was lost to the San Francisco Giants last week against Blanton, who is stunking up really good, although he looks a little bit better now. In games that Blanton pitches for the Angels, they're 2-12 this season. Pass on the game. Texas is at St. Louis. I do not play against Wainwright. They're 11-4 when he starts, 2.37 ERA. He may even start in the All-Star game, even though Boach is coaching the team and he's not a big St. Louis fan. He probably is a St. Louis fan. I'm just saying that. I'm not a St. Louis fan because I'm a Giant fan. But take Wainwright, and you know what? I don't care. Put the house on it. Texas is not going to win this game. Wainwright, big. The number you got to give up is about $2 to a dollar. So, you know, it's like 2-1 against you. But take them. If you don't have the guts with the odds, you never win in baseball. Colorado is at Washington. Pass. I don't care. The Nats, you know, I went to a game two nights ago after my team beat the D.C. Grays in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League by a score of 2-1. Game was over at exactly 7. Guess what time the game started? 3 miles down the road from where we were. 7:05. Guess where we were in the second inning? Sitting in some seats at Nationals Park. We watched six or seven innings, went home, ate barbecue, went to sleep, and played again yesterday. That's what baseball's all about. Every day, I'm going to pass on a game. I don't like the game. With the Nats' luck, they're going to lose it anyway. You got Harvey, Matt Harvey, the guy who, by the way, great story on Matt Harvey early this week, standing up to John Roush, 6'11". They call him Velociraptor because his arms are so short. Roush, evidently, well, Harvey probably had a better reach than him, but Harvey was like 7 inches shorter and probably 40 pounds lighter. Evidently, Roush thought it would be funny Harvey's rookie year to throw some ice water on top of him because he was taking a nap in the clubhouse. and Harvey stood up, and it was all they could do to keep him from killing John Roush. Well, as you see, where's John Roush? Exactly. Take Harvey. It's Sunday. He's great. He's at the Phillies. And, you know, I just think personally that John Lannon just doesn't have it this year. Take Harvey. The Mets win today. And when are you going to get Harvey minus 130? Never. Take him. Looking again, the next game, Atlanta, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's won a couple of games, but they suck. Paul Mahala, Atlanta right now is in a nosedive. I'm going to pass on the game. I don't like either team right now. You got to like the and by the way, handicappers out there, Handicappers of America, Bruce Hall's handicapping army. If you don't like a team at the present time, don't take them. Only if it's a good team down, and they need the game to keep from being swept. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't take them. I can't say anything good about either team, so I'm passing on the game. Miami is at San Francisco. You know, poor San Francisco, my buddy Boach, he's got kids hurt everywhere. But you know what they're doing? They're staying in it. They're 2.5 games back. They're 3 games back. Arizona, they're in second place. Anybody except the Los Angeles Dodgers can win it. I would never give you San Diego. But Arizona, San Francisco, or Colorado, one of them is going to win the West. My heart is in San Francisco. I can't believe I said that. Isn't that a song? But let's go. I'm going to take Matt Cain. He's right at the ship. He's throwing the ball a lot better than he was before. The Dodgers, Dale Capuano, who's been, you know, he's been pitching pretty well lately, goes against a hot Cashner in San Diego. I'm still going to pass. Not enough firepower there. Not enough real talent. These are the two teams in the National League West that do not have a chance to make it to the playoffs. So I'm going to pass on the game. Now you got Matt Latos in the last game with Cincinnati playing at Arizona. And Arizona came back, won on a walk-off last night, did a great job. This game could go either way, so what does a smart handicapper do, people? You pass on the game. You pass on the game. There are my picks for tonight. I'm going to go over them real quick for everybody. Toronto, I've got them. I've got the Yankees with Nova. I've got the Kansas City Royals with Shields. I got the Cubs with Samardzija. I've got Wainwright big time. I got the Cards. That's the one I love. I've got Harvey with a good number, minus 130. I got San Francisco with Matt Cain. And the rest of the games, in my humble opinion, and I put the emphasis on humble, suck. They just suck. Don't even waste your time watching them. Now, listen, I will say this. I sit there with my little channel changer with my TVs, and I can watch a lot of ball games at the same time. When we get back, we're going to have a great guy. We're going to be listening to Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist, author of Coaching Confidential Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. By the way, you can get that book on Amazon.com. It's rated 4 stars. Gary, I just ordered 2 books myself, but I'm gonna let you talk about it. I'm gonna let you bring up some stuff. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm a realtor. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'd like to introduce a guest that I've got on the show right now, Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist, former Syracuse alum, still a Syracuse alum. Gary, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, no problem, Bruce. What's going on this morning?
Not much, man. All I know is that I did order 2 of your books. So, and I got to tell you, I want to talk about that book because a lot of people, you know, everybody talks about the NFL and talks about what a good old boys network it is. And it really is. I mean, it always has been. Baseball might even be a bigger one, if you know what I'm saying. But what I like the most about what I've always seen with you on on television when I watch you, and you are an NFL insider. I used to watch you every week on a show that I won't talk about right now, but it's a great show. And the thing I like the thing I like about what
you can mention it. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the thing I like the most about you is you're so honest, and you come off that way. And all you do, you get more information, in my opinion, to the listener than anybody I've ever listened to. I mean, you get it all in there, and I really appreciate it. Hey, listen, let's talk about your book first. Tell us a little bit about your book and about what it entails, and maybe just a little something from the book as a teaser.
Well, the book is called Coaching Confidential. It came out in November, and it's actually been received very well. It's selling really well. It's really just an inside look at the lives of NFL head coaches, with a lot of behind-the-scenes stories about guys like Belichick and Parcells and Andy Reid, Tony Dungy, Sean Payton, all really all the big names of this generation of coaches. And, one of my favorite chapters in the book, I went up and spoke with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, a few years ago, and interviewed him about his experiences with Parcells, Pete Carroll, and then Belichick. As his head coaches, three of the biggest name coaches, we've had in the last 30 years. And really, he provided a lot of insight, and he's very forthcoming about his feelings about each of those guys. So that's really the general theme of the book, is to give the reader something that they probably haven't read anywhere else before, and to give them a little insight into what makes these guys tick.
I feel a little bit torn between Robert Kraft, because I have a little bit of inside information that I'm not going to share with anybody, because I really shouldn't know it. And I wouldn't even go there, because I'm almost 60. I'm about, you're much younger than me, Gary. And
I wouldn't say that, Bruce.
I know, but you're barely younger. Hey, listen, what I'm saying about Robert Kraft is I like certain things that he does as an owner. And there's certain things he does as an owner that I really don't respect, because – it's just that it shouldn't go on, some of that stuff. But you got to admit, I mean, you can't argue with the success they've had in New England, although a lot of people will tell you there are reasons for that success that might not be on the up and up. But I do like Kraft. I like what he's done. Let me ask you this, and I'm segueing into something else, but I know you have an opinion about this. Vladimir Putin comes out – well, he doesn't come out. Robert Kraft comes out last week – or this past week, early in the week, and he says, well, Vladimir Putin stole my Super Bowl ring from 2006. I mean, I've read the story. Who do you believe, Putin or Robert?
I'm not getting involved in that one.
No, I hear you. Oh, you know what?
I don't know. Isn't
that the strangest thing you've ever read in your life?
It's a really bizarre story. And, when it came out in the last week or so, like you mentioned, it's not the first time that Kraft has spoken about that, or that story has made its way into the newspaper. And he just was talking about it at a dinner in New York that he was being honored at recently, and it just came up in his talk. So it kind of reignited the story about what happened to that Super Bowl ring. I heard what he said about Kraft before. I'm not exactly sure of some of the things that you're referring to, but I will say this. I like him very much. I've had a good relationship with him for 20 years since he's been an owner in the NFL. I think he's created the model franchise in the league. Now, are there things that have happened in New England that, are unfortunate? Certainly the Spygate situation. They've had some off-the-field problems with players, like the ongoing thing with Aaron Hernandez now.
Oh, God.
I'm not exactly sure how much Robert Kraft was involved in the drafting of Aaron Hernandez. He's given, complete autonomy to Belichick,
right,
in the personnel department. So I think he's a really, really smart businessman. But as far as exactly what happened with that ring, I can't say for sure.
No, I tell you what, though, it became a story. And I think the last thing I read about is Putin said, if he wants his damn ring back, he can have it. That's what I read, but at least that's what I think I saw last. Matt wants to stick something in here, Gary.
The funniest part of this is that I heard that he said he won't give the ring back. He'll pay for another one.
Oh, yeah. He wants him to make a...
Well, he'll make another one. Can't have that damn ring back.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, it's an international story. It's become an international story. Hey, Gary, let's jump back on. Now, you talk about all of these head coaches. Sean Payton. Can we talk about him for a minute? Because I love Sean Payton,
sure.
Okay? Sean Payton, you either love him you can respect him, but a lot of guys don't like Sean just because of his style. I love Sean Payton. I love what he did when he went to New Orleans. I love what he did after Katrina. I love the way that he and Breeze and that team came together. And I honestly think that his owner, this is my opinion, threw him under the bus last year because Sean basically lost $8 million, $7.5 million, agreed? Because he got... You know, he was suspended for a year, and I think his salary was $7.5 million. The owner got a $500,000 fine. I personally thought that was a bit excessive for Payton. I felt like the year was bad enough. I mean, I just thought that was too much. How do you feel about that? Because you're closer to the situation.
You know, Bruce, I don't know that his owner threw him under the bus. His owner wasn't the one who suspended him. The commissioner suspended him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he lost his salary for the year. Now, he's making $8 million now per year. He signed a new contract, I think it was in January.
Right.
I think he was making about $5.5 million. He would have made $5.5 million last year in the season that he was suspended. So, listen, when you're the head coach of an NFL team, you're responsible for everything that happens in the building.
Correct.
And whether he was directly involved with some of the shenanigans that was going on the defensive side of the ball or not, you know, it's still his responsibility. And, you know, the league claims they issued him a warning about it as far back as, you know, 2-3 years ago, and the stuff was still going on. So they came down pretty hard on Sean Payton, and they came down really hard on Greg Williams, who's defensive coordinator. And I think they did what they had to do. I mean, you can't have players, you know, being rewarded for, you know, it's a violent enough game. You know, players get hurt.
Sure.
Players get hurt all the time under normal circumstances. And, you know, with what the Saints were accused of doing was, you know, pinpointing guys and, you know, rewarding them financially for hurting them or knocking them out of the game. And, you know, if indeed that was going on, that's completely unacceptable. And the commissioner, you know, handed out penalties that he felt were appropriate. And, listen, Sean Payton's a great coach. I don't think anybody would dispute that. I think after he won the Super Bowl a few years ago, he became a little full of himself and thought he was, you know, pretty much bulletproof. And when that happens, you know, then the next thing that happens is bad stuff happens. And you know, that's what happened to the Saints. They had a horrible season last year. And I'll be really interested to see how quickly, you know, Payton could put the pieces back together in New Orleans this year.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see Rob Ryan coaching the defense down there, too. You know, they say he's their kind of guy. Well, God, I hope it isn't like the other guy. And Greg Williams, to his benefit, has always had great results. But, you know, obviously they were a little tainted. Gary, let's talk about the Jets, okay? Because I love to read what you write about the Jets. I think we're on the same page here. I'm confused, okay? Treat me as a fan now. What's going on with Woody? And what's going on with the Jets? And how does Rex still have a job? That's just my... I'm just asking
a
question.
I'll take the last one first.
Okay.
Rex still has a job because he has 2 years to go on his contract. And after having to pay off Mike Tannenbaum, Woody Johnson didn't want to pay, you know, $6 million to Rex, not to coach.
That makes sense.
On top of that, he really is extremely fond of Rex, and I think Rex is a very good coach when he has the players. Now, one of the reasons he doesn't have good players right now is because he was very involved in the personnel decisions over the 4 years that he worked with Tannenbaum. Excuse me. And Rex is a very emotional coach, and too many of his decisions personnel-wise were based on emotion, and you can never let that get in the way of making what ultimately would be the right decision. So I think the downfall of the Jets, you know, is attributable in part to Rex's input into the personnel decisions. As far as what's going on with the team, you know, John Idzik inherited a very bad salary cap situation. In my opinion, he made a mistake trading away his best player in Darrelle Revis, but he felt he had to do that in order to try to get the cap back into some kind of a working order. But, you know, the Jets are in a complete transition right now, and they don't like to use the word rebuilding, but they are rebuilding, and they're going to try to do it what I think would be the right way, which is through the draft, through role players as free agents. But when you do that, it does take time.
Right.
And whether Jet fans are going to have the patience to see this rebuilding through, you know, will be, you know, really interesting to watch. Because as we know, the Jets have had a very difficult time selling all their PSLs. And that was, you know, during a period when they had a really good team. And now that I think it's almost comparable to a certain extent to what the Mets are going through. Where
you have to
break it down and start over again.
Can you hold on for a minute, Gary? We'll be back with another segment real quick. I want to finish up on the Jets. I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the NFL, and I want to talk a little bit about the Giants. Can you stay on?
Absolutely, Bruce.
All right, sounds great. We'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. And the moment
we're in. We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. It's Bruce Hall. I've got Gary Myers. Gary Myers, the author of Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. You can pick this up on at Amazon.com. If you're in New York, you can probably pick it up at Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore. Gary, thanks for being on with us. It's very rare that I'm able to talk to, you know, it's funny. I'm a visual guy, and I can see you right now because I saw you for years and years on television. Just a great insider, know what's going on with the game. Let me ask you one thing, and then we'll jump to the Giants, okay? We've been talking about the New York Jets. For those of you that are just turning on, I'm on the phone with Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist. Great column. Gary, Tim Tebow. You know, I like Tim Tebow. I loved him in college. Yeah, he's not your typical NFL quarterback, but look what he did in Denver in such a very short period of time, in a situation where they had to win games to go to the playoffs. What happened in New York, as far as you know?
Well, he just never really got an opportunity to play with the Jets last season. And I think part of that was based on the fact that when they got him out on the practice field in the OTAs minicamp last year, that they got scared because he doesn't throw the football very well. And they just didn't feel that they could, you know, put him into any really meaningful situations where they have to count on him to throw the ball. So as a result, you know, his playlist was really limited to, you know, run the ball between the tackles, just putting his head down and running it like that when the defense knew exactly what was coming. I thought it was an ill-conceived plan from the beginning. I'm not a Tebow guy in terms of thinking he can ever be a really successful quarterback in the NFL. When he had that playoff run, like you mentioned, Bruce, with the Broncos a couple of years ago, some of those games were miracle games, you know, complete aberrations that just happened to be strung together that got him into the playoffs. But I think that he has a very limited skill set as a quarterback, and I'm not exactly sure what Bill Belichick, you know, has planned for him in New England, because you know that they're not taking Brady off the field. And unless Tebow has had a change of heart and is willing to play a different position, and, you know, they might have some playing time available at tight end, depending on what happens, you know, with Hernandez and then, you know, Gronkowski coming off four wrist surgery. I mean, surgeries on his arm, which he broke in November, and then recently had back surgery. So unless Tebow is willing to play another position, I don't really see him getting on the field this year with the Patriots.
No, I totally agree. And I think one of the reasons they took him is just his athletic ability and the fact that he didn't cost him anything, really. You know, the kid, it's funny, Sporting News came out last year. You may have even seen this issue. The top, like, 200 players in college football and the NFL in the last, you know, since its inception. And guess who number one quarterback was? And number two, I want to say, was Roger Staubach. And number three was, Sammy Baugh. Number one was Tim Tebow, and it was based only on college results and college numbers. But I totally agree with you. Last question on the Jets, and we're gonna jump to the Giants, Gary. Okay, do they have a shot at winning 9 or 10 games this year and making the playoffs?
No, I don't think so. I think you're looking at potentially another 6-10 season, or even a game or two worse than that. Which is what happens when you completely turn over the personnel. I mean, you just can't get it turned around in one season with young players like they're trying to do. But the biggest thing is they need to come out of this season either feeling really good about Mark Sanchez or feeling really good about Geno Smith. That's the goal of this season. They need to know who their quarterback is. Otherwise, they're going to have to draft another one next April. Now, they could have a top five pick in the draft next year, and it's too soon to say how many quarterbacks would be worth taking that high. People talk about Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville, but I don't know. I have to admit, I don't know enough about him to say that what he did last year it will be sustainable this year, and then he'll become top of the first round pick. But I would say that again, the goal of the Jets this year has to be either to establish Geno Smith as a winning type quarterback in the NFL, where somehow the new offense that they're installing, and then the first legitimate competition that Sanchez is facing, helps him turn the corner and kind of get back to the way he played in the playoffs
right. His
first 2 years. He wasn't great during the regular season his first 2 years, but he was really good in the playoffs. And somehow they have to get him back to playing like that.
Yeah, and personnel plays such a big part of that. And they really have a lot of holes, especially in their offense right now. Sean Green didn't have a terrible year for a running back, but they were usually, he wasn't a factor because a lot of times they were behind. I'm not a big Sanchez fan. I want to say that his rating was somewhere in the mid-60s. That's tough to do. You would think that Geno Smith could do that in his sleep, but you don't know. He needs receivers. All right, let's talk about the Giants. What on earth? I picked the Giants to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You probably didn't know that. It wasn't like national news, but I picked them in November and then, or October, and then they lost 4 games in a row. People were calling in and they were telling me I was out of my mind. What's wrong with me? And I said, look, they've got the team potentially to win this thing. They're the only team I can see that could beat Green Bay. And sure enough, that's what it came down to. They ended up beating Green Bay. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. Really, that was a pretty lucky deal too. There was a lot of heavenly help, it seemed like, in that game. But then last year they come around. Now, granted, the Washington Redskins, who I'm a season ticket holder of, which it's neither here nor there. I'm not a Dan Snyder fan at all, but the thing about that is the Redskins had a run where they won 6-7 games in a row last year. And that was, you had to win the division because there wasn't going to be a wild card out of the East. New York looked like they just never really had a chance. What happened, Gary, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, defensively that they didn't play as well. They had a bunch of injuries. I think offensively that the offense really struggled the last month of the year. Not having Akeem Nicks healthy the entire year put a lot more pressure on Victor Cruz. Eli was struggling at one point, to throw for 200 yards in a game when, 300 yards was something that he did on a regular basis. And then you also have to factor in that, although you thought they were going to win the Super Bowl the year before, they were just a 9-7 team.
Right.
I mean, they were never a dominant team in the 2011 season. They just got, really, really hot in the playoffs, as they did when they made the Super Bowl run a few years before that. And that's that has really lended credence to the idea of just getting the playoffs and then anything can happen. And, you know, a bunch of wild card teams have won the Super Bowl the last few years. And, you know, and listen, I think I always say it's easier to get to the mountaintop than to stay there and to maintain excellence. I think it's easier to achieve it the first time than it is to you know, put back-to-back years together. And, you know, players are told how great they are. Money becomes an issue. The motivation isn't quite the same because they've just won it. So there's a lot of things that play into it. And, you know, they become the biggest game on the schedule each week when you're the Super Bowl champion, you know, for the other team. So it's extremely hard to repeat. And the Giants, you know, were in good position to make the playoffs until late in the year, and they lost those back-to-back games to the Falcons and Ravens very late in the year that, you know, where the season was, you know, hanging in the balance, and they played poorly in both games. So, but I think the Giants will be right there this year. I'm not going to say they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to be right there to win the division. And, you know, as we've seen, anything can happen after that.
Yeah, the one thing that also happened that year, and I'm sure you remember this, and a lot of people won't because, you know, it was a lot more impactful on Green Bay than it was on the Giants, was when Joe Philbin's son drowned. I mean, that was – a lot of people don't remember that, but that was the week before the two teams played. And, I mean, or it might have even been 2 weeks before, but it really just knocked the air out of Green Bay somehow. And they just didn't look the same in the playoffs to me. But listen,
well, they played very poorly against the Giants in that game.
Right.
You know, whether or not that tragedy with Philbin's son, you know, impacted the way they played. I mean, it's an intangible that, you know, obviously is something only the Packers would know, you know, how much that, you know, that really affected their mindset going into that game. But, you know, just on the field at least, the Giants completely outplayed them.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers didn't play a very good game.
It was horrible. And I think if it impacted anybody, it probably impacted Rodgers because he's extremely close to Philbin, who, by the way, I think personally, and you know, tell us what you think. I'm going to ask you who your wild cards are here in a minute. But I think Philbin's doing a great job down there. Well, let's do that. We got a couple of minutes left, Gary. Who are your teams? Give me your best team in the NFC and your best team in the AFC to make it to the final game this year. And of course, this is all speculative.
Yeah, I really like the way Seattle was playing late in the year, and they've added some good pieces in the offseason, you know, with Percy Harvin and Cliff Averill, and you would suspect that, you know, Russell Wilson, who had a terrific rookie year, will be even better, you know, in his second season. So I like Seattle in the NFC. In the AFC, I look at it like this. Eli played a Super Bowl on Peyton's home field a couple of years ago, so I think that Peyton's got a real good chance to play Super Bowl on Eli's home field. So, you know, as we're sitting here on June 23rd, Bruce, I'll probably change my mind a couple of times before the season starts. I always stick with my Super Bowl pick once I make it officially in the paper.
This isn't official. I won't hold you to it.
I would say I like Seattle and Denver, but, you know, let's see what happens this summer. You know, I want to see if there's any major injuries that would, you know, really, you know, change the outlook, you know, of a team. So, but as we're sitting here in late June, I would say Seattle and Denver.
Yeah, I tell you, Gary, I agree with both of those picks. I really I liked Seattle late last year. And my co-host, Roy Edwards, he loved Denver right up until the final minute. All right, Gary, thanks for coming on. Listen, I want to just, if you don't mind, Gary Myers, the author of Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. He's also a New York Daily News columnist, Yes Network, you name it. Gary's done it, one of the greatest NFL insiders of all time. Gary, thank you so much for coming on. I want to have you on the show real soon. Before you know, we'll be playing meaningful games in the NFL. It won't be long.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to come on, Bruce, especially because you're kind of my hometown station here in Westchester.
It's one of the reasons I called that number so quick. I thought it was a station. Gary, thank you so much for coming on. Gary Myers, everybody. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Oh, man, it's Sunday. It's a beautiful day outside. We've gotten some good weather this week, which is different from the last 3 months where we've had like tons of rain, at times cold, at times wind, at times tornadoes, at times everything. And it looks like we're going to get some baseball in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we're coming upon some really, really big times. You know, some good times in sports. When you get into July, August, you get into NFL season. Right now, we're, you know, we just had the summer solstice 2 nights ago. I think we got the super moon last night and tonight. You know, I don't understand how the moon gets that much closer to look that big, but I don't even think it's that much bigger.
It doesn't.
Well, then how come the moon looks so big in that picture?
Because a lot of people on Facebook think they're scientists, and it's just a scientific term that people picked up on, and it's actually no bigger than a normal, you know, full moon from last month.
I tell you what, I really, you know, I'm still kind of beaming about the interview we just had with Gary Myers. Gary Myers, you know, anytime a guy like me who's a handicapper, and I call myself an insider because, you know, I kind of am. I kind of have my ways about me at getting information. Same ways that, you know, Gary and other guys who are a lot better known than me do. But I got to tell you something. For a guy like that to come on my show, little bitty AM, but it's in Westchester where Gary lives. And it was great to have him on the show, and hopefully we'll get him on in the next few weeks when we start really getting into NFL talk and results. Because, you know, the NFC East and the AFC East, you know, you got New England, you got the Jets, you got the Giants, you got the Eagles, you got the Redskins, you got the Ravens, you know, in a different division. But there are so many teams up and down the East Coast seaboard. And, you know, Gary, the nice thing about being located in the East is you can get from Boston to Atlanta in less than 2 hours. About two and a half hours gate to gate. You can get from Washington to Boston in an hour. You can get from Washington to New York in an hour. I mean, so these guys can pick up, leave, go get an interview, get some information, get back on a plane, and get back home and have time to write up their story and go on TV, for crying out loud.
Or you can just get on Skype real quick. you don't have to go anywhere anymore to be an insider.
Well, you know what I was told this week, and it's something we've thought about and we're probably going to be doing real soon. We do have to get a video. When we're on the show, we're going to set a studio up here. And we're going to start, you're going to actually be able to see, don't worry, you won't have to look at Matt, but you'll be able to see me, and you'll be able to see Roy. Matt's actually a good looking guy, except he needs to trim his beard up a little bit. No, you do, Matt.
Very metal today.
Yeah, you're very metal.
I'm letting it grow out for a little bit until I
You're like very Civil War looking is what you are. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm looking at a Civil War reenactment actor.
This beard means I haven't met with some high level clients in a while. You can tell how good my business is doing by the shape of my beard.
Hey, you know, real quick before we go on, I do want to talk about baseball. If you missed the segment, which was the second segment of the day, which was on at 10:15 to 10:30, that's when I gave you all my baseball picks. For all of you late risers like Roy that are out there and they want the picks, here are my picks for today. I'm going with Toronto Blue Jays. I'm going with the New York Yankees. That's right, the New York Yankees, the pinstripes. I'm going with the Kansas City Royals. I'm also going with the Chicago Cubs. I'm also going, and my big play of the day is the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm also going with the New York Mets. Now, how often does that happen? The Mets and the Yankees the same day? Not very often. I'm also going with the San Francisco Giants. And that's it, people. Those are my plays for today. You can either take them with a grain of salt or like my mom said, if you got a hunch, bet a bunch. Of course, we're talking points here, not dollars. This is only for entertainment purposes only.
We're big like on Yahoo. Yahoo Fantasy, you know, this is basically, we should be sponsored by them.
Anyway, you know, the thing that, I was starting to discuss, the thing I like the most about this time of the year is not only am I watching a lot of baseball, I'm coaching baseball. You know, I'm the manager of the Vienna River Dogs in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League. 2 years ago, we were ranked number two behind the Cape Cod League. You know, there's a lot of places Division I players go to play ball. They can go to Coastal Plains League and, you know, ride a bus for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. In the D.C. Baltimore area, where we have as good a league, in my opinion, if not better, the furthest we drive and we just all we do is caravan. The furthest we drive is 1 hour and 20 minutes to Baltimore from Vienna, Virginia. And we never travel during rush hour ever. And if you're a great ball player for next year, give me a call, 1-800-466-4748. You know, I listen to the shows that come on before our show. What's the gentleman's name? Matt, you don't know his name. Anyways,
you don't know his name?
His name's
the Brotherhood of
Bob
Wolf.
Bob Wolf. Bob used to. I saw Bob interview Mickey Mantle more than once. Bob's a wonderful guy. But a lot of kids go on his show, and I love that. I also love the fact that if a lot of kids go on his show, a lot of kids listen to his show. And I got to tell you, you know, being a wrestling coach, which I just coached my last year of high school wrestling, doesn't mean I won't be involved anymore. And being a baseball coach in high school and at the college level, you know, sports has been a major part of my life. And it does make a difference when kids do something active and involved, keeps them busy, gets them in shape, teaches them about teamwork. And you know, it's the summer is over before it starts. You know, we have a 7-8 week program. Kids get here right around Memorial Day. They're gone by the 1st of August. We're done. But we've played like 44 to 47 games. And, you know, the other night I explained what I did, which is almost impossible to do, but only I can do it. We played a 2-hour game at Gallaudet University. Beautiful turf field. Had a 5 o'clock start because they still don't have lights at Gallaudet. Hey, get those lights up. And but to be honest with you, I love 5 o'clock starts because we're done at 7:30. We played 9 innings. Guy pitched a complete game. 5-hitter. Guy named Joseph Vanderplas, who you'll read his name one day, hopefully pitching in the major leagues. He will get drafted one day, no question. 6'3", 220-pound left-hander, very athletic. I let him take BP yesterday. I let all my pitchers take BP. Only one gets to take it a day. I'm not crazy. But Vandy hit up the longest ball that was probably hit at the field all day yesterday during batting practice. Probably hit it 400 feet into right field. And Vandy, thank you very much for that. I'm going to get you in there as a pinch hitter sometime. But you know, the thing that kills me is it's almost July and the NBA playoffs just ended. Yes, I don't care for the NBA that much. I love the playoffs because they seem to try much harder. Does that make sense, Matt? They really seem like it's on the line in the playoffs, and before they ever get to the playoffs, it's not so much.
Yeah. You know what? Are the NHL playoffs still going on?
Yeah. And
I can't believe my the NHL.
I got Chicago. And we're going to talk about the Blackhawks when we come back from a break. The Blackhawks and the Bruins are both playing really well. They're peaking at the right time. And if anybody is doing it right, it is the NHL right now. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. I'm sitting here looking at the U.S. Open leaderboard last week after the final. Gun was sounded. Even par one, Justin Rose. I was happy Justin won it. If everybody was pulling for Phil, it looked like Phil was going to be there, and he just couldn't quite pull it off. It was a great, great final day of play. Jason Duffner from the University of Auburn, way back when, shot a 67. That was incredible. Didn't think there was a 67 out there, and Duffner shot it, tied for fourth place. Not only did he win a bunch of money, he's got a couple exemptions, gets to come back. I think it's top 15 for the U.S. Open the next year. Jason Day made a run, wasn't good enough. Justin Rose won by two shots at plus one. He shoots a 70. I mean, that's a hell of a damn. That's a hell of a damn four rounds. He shot 71 on Thursday, came back with a 69 on Friday, 71 Saturday, 70 on Sunday, wins by two strokes. And Ernie Els, my buddy Ernie, plus five. He was tied with Jason Duffner. Ernie shot a 69. And that was pretty good. This week, the PGA is at the PGA Tour Travelers Championship. Graham DeLate is leading right now. It's a three-way tie, actually. Those guys go off at 2 o'clock. Some of them go off. Charlie Hoffman's there. Charlie's got real long blonde hair. He's kind of a – looks like a hippy-dippy weatherman. He's actually looks like a hard rocker is what he looks like. But Charlie can play. It's not one of your bigger stops on the tour. Bubba Watson is tied for first place. A lot of Bubba people out there want to know where he's been for so long. Personally, I'd like to know where he's been too. But the U.S. Open, getting back to the Open a little bit, that, in my opinion, was done extremely well. Now, a lot of people complained about it, the fact that, the greens were a little slow, then they got quicker, then they were inconsistent. What you saw in that tournament, in my opinion, was not the best putters necessarily getting hurt because of the way the greens were, but the people that actually putted well just adjusted better. They're the kind of guys that can play on, they're going to putt okay pretty much any time on any kind of a green. Guys like Tiger want a faster green. They want 14, 15 step meter. Phil Mickelson, same deal. Hunter Mahan, same deal. Steve Stricker, same deal. Steve Stricker shot a 76 last week on Sunday. That never happens. If Stricker shoots that 67, he wins the tournament. If Stricker shoots a 70, he wins the tournament. He shoots a 76. Luke Donald, a 75. Hunter Mahan, a 75. We had a couple of people on the air. We had Chris Johnson, who liked Hunter Mahan. I kind of liked him too. A lot of people weren't picking Phil. And look what Phil did too. What did Phil do? He shot 74. Shot his lowest round of the tournament on Sunday. Is that the first time that's ever happened with Phil Mickelson? No. But he didn't play terribly. It was just he got some bad breaks. Ernie Els, it was just really good to see Ernie shoot. Hideki Matsuyama shoots 67 also. Martin Laird, who finished at plus 11, shoots a 68. And who was the biggest choker on the tour that day at the U.S. Open? I'm going to tell you who it was. It was Charlie Schwartzel. Charlie Schwartzel shot 79. Paul Casey shot a 79. I mean, a guy that actually, in my opinion, look at these guys. Ogilvy, 293. Webb Simpson, 13 over. KJ Choi, 13 over. Tiger Woods, 13 over. Bubba Watson, 13 over. Paul Laurie, Carl Pedersen, Rory McIlroy, 13 and 14 over. Jerry Kelly, 14 over. Sergio Garcia, 15 over. That's too bad. I really felt bad for him. Because I'm pretty sure that everybody distracted him in that tournament. I mean, that played tough. One over par, won that. And guess what? That's what U.S. Opens are all about. Now, it was a very short course, played a short course, but it was so tough. The rough was incredibly hard to get out of. It was almost, I would say 95 to 98% of the time, the rough cost you at least a stroke, sometimes two. Sometimes two because you couldn't put it where you needed to make a bogey. Or you had to make two great putts to make a bogey. Anyway, that's enough about golf. U.S. Amateur's coming up. That ought to be good. There's all kind. You know what? Now's a great time to be playing golf. The thing I like about golf, Matt, is I can go off. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm done before 11. I go eat lunch. I go home. I take a nap. I go to the ballpark. We play a game, and I can do the same thing the next day. I actually played 18 holes for the first time since November this past week. I want to thank Bruce Dozier, who is one of the top guys putting on trade shows in the country. Bruce Dozier, I wish I knew the name of your company, but just Google Bruce Dozier and Google trade shows and you'll find him. He is the best. He used to work in Vegas for like 15 years. He ran the Convention and Visitors Authority offices in D.C. and Chicago. And Bruce went into business for himself about 10 years ago and has done incredibly well. And, you know, he's a great person. Took me out. We played with a couple of really nice guys that were kind of from my area of town. We played at Chantilly Country Club in Centerville, Virginia. Those of you in Northern Virginia listening to this, you played Chantilly. Course was in great shape. You know, greens were in great shape. But I want to tell you, when I was done playing, I was exhausted. And when you get tired riding 18 holes, you know you're not hitting the ball. It was cart path only, and I was hitting the ball probably as far from my cart as I could. So I probably walked about 7 or 8 miles that day and swung at least 90 times, counting practice swings. That's the craziest thing about golf. You know, people go, well, what'd you shoot? Well, I shot an 89, but I took like 400 practice swings. I think I'm going to have to take fewer practice swings. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Matt Lynch on the box. Baseball. I'm going to get back to baseball real quick because I want to tell you what's going to happen. Every week is a new chapter in baseball because every week we have 6 or 7 games. And, you know, a season can turn with 1 or 2 bad series. Now, in the major leagues, and, you know, to be honest with you, in college it's the same way. If you're playing a 3-game series against somebody or a 4-game series, the more series you win, the better chance you have at a really good season. And really, your goal is to win the series. So if you lose the first game and win the second and third game, you get on the plane, you're feeling pretty good about life. Right now, in my opinion, everybody except Tampa Bay can win the American League East. Toronto is on fire. They've won 10 in a row. The New York Yankees can play. If everybody gets healthy, they might be able to play really well. The Baltimore Orioles, I picked them to win it before the season started. The total in Vegas was 78 wins. You feel good about my information now, people? And the Boston Red Sox, nobody thought this was going to happen. How bad of a coach is Bobby Valentine? Because they're in first place. They're 45-31 at this point in the season. Detroit is going to win the Central Division. Cleveland doesn't have a chance. Kansas City, Minnesota, Chicago need to just clean house, start selling now, and rebuild their teams. The Oakland A's can win it. Texas can win it, although I think Oakland has a better shot. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have no chance. It's just like on Animal House, you know, Donald Day has no grade point average. Seattle, no chance. Houston, I love Bo Porter, but Bo, you're about $80 million away from having a playoff team, and you know that. In the National League, my favorite league, because my two favorite teams play in it. The Atlanta Braves are finding out that if you live and die by something, you died almost as much as you live by it. They're 43-32, but they're going to lose a lot more games before it's all over. However, even though Washington, the Nationals, are in second place right now, five games back, don't look for them to make up much ground because they have problems. They can't score any runs. I know what that's like. My kids are doing the same thing. Philadelphia, no chance. Probably Charlie's last year. The New York Mets, you know, they're the New York Mets. They're going to be good. All they're doing is spinning their two great pitchers, Zach Wheeler and Harvey. They're spinning them into the future. Well, you know what? If they get two more guys like that, they got a chance. But they still need hitters, and they still need defense. Miami, forget about it. He needs to sell the team. St. Louis Cardinals, best team in baseball right now, 47-27. That's ridiculous. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Three teams in the NFC, in the National League Central have better records. They have all have more wins than anybody else in the National League. That's where the wild card's coming from. That's where they're coming from. Milwaukee, no chance. Chicago, no chance. In the West, and this is the big story, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they've righted the ship since last year. They're getting some really good defense. They're getting some really good timely hitting. And they're getting some good pitching. They're in first place by three games. In front of San Francisco, San Diego, Colorado is three games back also. Three and a half games back. All four of those teams can win, except for San Diego. Remember I said that. San Diego and the Dodgers have no grade point average. For the first time in generations, people, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'll tell you what, this Aaron Hernandez story is just going to get worse and worse for Mr. Hernandez, I'm afraid. You know, yesterday afternoon, about 20 law enforcement officers, police dogs, and a locksmith, that's not a good sign, descended on the home of Aaron Hernandez, conducted nearly a four-hour search of the property, and left with bags of possible evidence. Now, it included, the search had local and state police involved, and this is all about the slaying of an acquaintance of his, Odin Lloyd, whose bullet-ridden body was found in a nearby industrial park Monday evening. The police had two dogs that went through the home, the backyard. They searched Hernandez's white sport utility vehicle. The North Attleboro police directed traffic. Neighbors gathered to watch. It's just a big circus, like it always is nowadays. Thanks to social media. That, you know, is pretty much how I'm giving you this story.
They need to check Aaron Hernandez's Twitter feed because they need to see if there's any posts that are like, hey, just killed a man, LOL. You know,
can I tell you what?
Hit some evidence.
Don't laugh.
SMH.
Don't laugh because the people that listen to my show regularly know that I talked about that with a Boston bomber. I went to the kids' Twitter account, and I found out that he had the phone of some guy for 6 days, and he kept going, yo, dude, my phone, man, where's my phone? Well, your phone's being used by a damn criminal, you know? Hey, don't give your phone to your quote-unquote best bud next time, doofus.
So did Aaron Hernandez check in from local office park?
Well, you know what? Listen to this.
Cleaning vehicle.
Yeah, forget about this. Let's just say a couple things we think we know are true. And I'm not – look – Matt, look at me.
This is very early on.
Matt, look, I have my hands in the air, okay? This doesn't mean this is true, but this is what I've heard through various sources, including television, okay? Number one, he was seen with this guy and two other people, four guys, at his home, at a bar, and getting into a vehicle. Later in the evening, him and two of his friends showed back up on tapes, supposedly. I don't know if it was at a gas station or where, but this other dude was nowhere to be found. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it was kind of about the time that they heard shots. There were shots heard. Evidently, Aaron Hernandez's house is less than, as the crow flies, we say, less than a mile from the scene. And at 3 in the morning, it's very quiet, and neighbors said they heard multiple gunshots around 3 in the morning. So here's the deal. If he indeed was with these guys, and let's just say he didn't pull the trigger, but he's with them, and somebody loses their head for some reason and puts 5-6 bullets in this guy, this poor guy who's dead now, I mean, that's a horrible thing. I mean, his family is tore up. Didn't seem like a bad kid. Playing semi-pro football, I mean, he loves the game of football. I mean, hanging out with Aaron Hernandez was probably a lot of fun for him. Who knows what they were involved with? We'll never know.
Yeah, you never know. When you end up with 6 shots in you, you're probably not an angel.
No, but that doesn't mean good chances are. Yeah, I disagree.
I don't want to disparage, but I disagree. You could be
an angel. You could be the only angel in a group of four. And you could have said, hey, you can't do this. You know, I'm not going to let you do this. And they went, well, then you're not going to tell anybody. I'm just saying nobody knows what happened. All we know is that approximately 3 in the morning, there were multiple gunshots heard. Now, whether they were the same gun, you know, the same gunshots that killed Mr. Odlin, or somebody else shooting in the middle of the night outside into the air, we'll never know. But I got to tell you this. If indeed, that's not even the evidence, right? That's hearsay, and there's no proof there, right? Until somebody talks, okay? If there's three guys involved, trust me, whoever talks first gets the less time. And I got a feeling, and this is what I would tell Mr. Hernandez as a friend slash mentor, if he was one of my kids and he knew who did it and it wasn't him, I would say, you got to come clean, brother. If you know, okay, you don't want to be a snitch, great, do your 30 years. You know, you're going to do a lot of time if you were indeed involved with this guy. And you know, we don't even know if he was involved yet. I think what's happening is the police are taking their time because we do know, we've heard two things. Number one, his cell phone was in pieces. His agent gave the cell phone to the police like, you know, like you would drop potato chips and step on them, and it was in that many pieces.
Oops.
Number two, evidently the home video camera or the home system has been destroyed.
The security system.
Yeah, it was destroyed.
With a hammer.
Yeah, it was destroyed.
It didn't just get knocked over by the dog.
No. Or nobody spray painted, you know, black paint on the lens. Somebody destroyed it. Now that might not have been Hernandez.
Cleaning lady, you know.
Yeah, she could have fallen into it.
Oops.
Of course, it's, you know, probably somewhere where nobody can get to it. It's probably in a secure place in the house because you don't want to leave the door open where your tapes are. You want to make sure it's locked up. And really, to be honest with you, don't most home security systems have a place that provides the security that see a tape too? I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. All I know is a young man at 27 years old is dead. Somebody's going to pay. And it doesn't matter. You know, the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, evidently, you know, they followed him to the training complex 2 days ago, right? Friday? Mm-hmm. Friday morning. They follow him to the training complex, and he, you know, has a meeting inside, theoretically, with Kraft and some, you know, people with the Patriots. I think what they were doing was they were giving him some advice in reference to the team, what needed to be done. And from what I understand, I mean, he was there for a little while, then he left. He, you know, showed up in sweatpants and a shirt or whatever. You know, we're never going to know. We're really not going to know. The bottom line is it's a very, very, very serious situation. You know, here's another thing, too. This club, Desiree, which is a strip club in Providence, Rhode Island, confirmed that the club was searched last week by law enforcement in connection with this investigation. Now, that's Providence, Rhode Island, right? That's not North Attleboro, Massachusetts. So evidently this situation, we can call it, has something to do with certain people, and they don't necessarily have to be within a mile of his home. Now, I got to tell you, if this guy was murdered within a mile of Hernandez's home, and Hernandez was there, he's a bigger moron than I think he is. Because, why, you know, that's just not smart. Lloyd's home, they talked to the mother. A lot of people have. His son's funeral was held Saturday morning at the Church of the Holy Spirit of Metapan. You know, he was a pro linebacker. He probably didn't make any money. Semi-pro players don't make a lot of money. Hernandez Thursday night spent the night at the Sheraton Hotel, which is connected to Prudential Center in Boston, where the firm Fee works for, Ropes and Gray, is located. He met with Fee Friday, returned home at 4:40 with a lawyer and one other man. He has not been seen outside since. That's Friday, 4:40 p.m. Okay? Around lunchtime the next day on Saturday, a young woman came out of the house at Westwood Estates, where it's a neighborhood home to several other current and former New England Patriots players. I mean, this is really sad. A little while later, she left in a silver Nissan with another woman, returned soon after. Evidently, Saturday night, just after 7, and that's last night, Matt. Today's Sunday. He approached the door, looked out at the crowd, and walked away. Unbelievable.
You have to imagine he just thought, you know what, I'm not really involved. It'll just go away. It'll settle down. Nobody will care. I can just destroy everything. Nobody will even remember me. And then he looks out the window, sees every piece of media equipment, and she goes, I am in so much trouble right now.
Well, you know what? You gotta think that nothing's really probably going to happen today because it's a Sunday, and it's really hard to get judges to sign stuff on a Sunday. You know, like a search warrant, another search warrant for different things. The thing they have to be so careful for is how a search warrant is written. In other words, everything's got to be specific and exact. You can't go into a house looking for something in a certain area and then all of a sudden find something somewhere else unless it's sitting out. You can't turn stuff over. There's just so many things that happen. What we're going to do next week is we're going to get a lawyer on the show, a good lawyer from Massachusetts who is familiar with this. I promise you I'll have him on the show, and we're going to let him talk about it. And then I'm going to answer questions just like all the people will be doing. You know, it's the saddest thing I've ever heard. You know, Hernandez is only 23 years old, Matt. He's young. My son will turn 24 in November. I couldn't imagine.
That's why you have to imagine that he's just like,
losing,
you know, I'll just get rid of all this stuff. It'll be fine. Don't think about me. I'll be playing
what,
next.
My cell phone, just break it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks out the window and just sees helicopters and Anderson Cooper's on his front lawn.
You know,
and he's just in there like, what the hell did I just do?
Oh, and God, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. You know, and this has got to be tough for a team like the New England Patriots, who are a very close team. But, you know, evidently Bill Belichick's out of the country. Well, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon, but they've got training camp to get ready for.
I imagine that he's been in contact with some people, though.
Do you think his cell phone can be hacked?
I don't think his cell phone is in pieces, though. Yes, no.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. And that's a cool shadow.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, I want to thank Gary Myers again for coming on the show earlier. Gary, that was great of you. I'm sitting here looking at Twitter, at Gary Myers, NYDN for New York Daily News. Super Bowl. God, I can't. I'm not very good at this. The Super Bowl this year might be 58. Yeah, Super Bowl 58. Is it 58? No. 48. 48. Super Bowl 48. Hot ticket on a cold night. Read my story about tickets to the New York Super Bowl. It's NewYorkDailyNews.us/19SORVE. I'm gonna click on it as soon as this show's over. I want to find out. Hey, I've been in the ticket business 30 years, Gary. I'll find out what they're going for, but I got news for you. I bet you Gary's going to get in for free. He'll have a press pass. Ain't no doubt about it. Gary, we're talking about Aaron Hernandez. I was just telling Matt I was going to go out and for Halloween, I think I'm going to be Aaron Hernandez, and I just got to buy some toy guns with a gun belt and just walk around.
That is the morbid question, and how many jerseys will they sell for Hernandez, in the next couple of days?
You know what? I don't know, but they probably will sell more now than they did before.
Yeah.
And
you have to imagine there's going to be an uptick.
You know, a guy that I really like a lot, who has a show on while I drive to your studio and do the show, Matt, is Rodney Harrison. And Rodney Harrison played for years with the New England Patriots. And he was, he doesn't really know what's going on, but what he said was very interesting. He said, there's a lot of people right now that are saying, oh, we love you, we're behind you. There's a lot of people saying, that aren't saying anything, or they're saying, this guy shouldn't have done this, blah, blah. He said a very interesting thing. What he said is, you shouldn't say a damn thing until you know exactly what he did. Because you put yourself in a position where you might say something you can't take back, like his teammates. If his teammates say, oh, we're behind you 100%, now we find out that not only did he kill this guy, he killed like five other people that are involved in a big, investigation. Yeah. How are they going to feel about the stat? I'm still behind you, brother. I'll be there on Saturday to visit you every week in prison.
Yes.
So I'll bring you cigarettes.
He's a great guy, and you find out he's the Virginia butt stabber, too.
Well, the Virginia butt stabber finally went to jail, finally. Hey, for those of you that don't know who the Virginia butt stabber is, guy walked around with a razor knife, literally in places like Walmart. And he would walk up behind women, normally larger women, and just slash their butt with a damn razor. And it was so sharp, a lot of times they didn't feel it until he started bleeding. And this guy did this to a number of young women, old women, middle-aged women, alien women. I mean, it didn't matter if it was a woman with a butt. He went after it. And I'm going to tell you, they finally sent this guy. I don't know if they found him guilty. They found him guilty, but I don't know if they've sentenced him. I think he's going to get a lot more time than he was supposed to, though.
I think they need to reopen the case now, because we don't know about Aaron Hernandez.
Well,
now we need to match up. Was it ever on a game that happened during a game that he was in?
Matt, we're pretty sure he didn't have anything to do with that. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Matt's losing his mind, which is no big deal. It's no big deal. I love Matt. Matt, a lot of guys on the box never talk. I like it when Matt speaks up and gives his opinion. Hey, Matt, tell us a little bit about the Major League Soccer situation right now?
Nobody cares about Major League Soccer right now. Are the Cosmos any good?
Are the Cosmos? Well, who? What soccer do they care about? The 9-0
The
9-0
Confederation Cup right now. This is like
talk about this.
This is second only to World Cup right now.
How many people out there like soccer? Raise your hand. I am raising my hand.
I will. This has been a pretty cool tournament so far. You know, right now we're still in the first rounds. Group A is finished. So far, it's going to be Brazil and Italy passing through. Today, it's
now. Are these the national teams?
Okay. The winners of tournaments in their respective national areas.
Oh, so now this isn't like an Olympic team. This is like you have to be on a specific team.
No, this is national.
Okay,
this is your national. You know, represent
your country.
Well,
this is like the Olympics, almost.
World Cup. It's held in Brazil right now because it's like the.
Can I go there?
I would love to go.
Well, why don't you?
Actually, I don't know if I want to go to Brazil for World Cup because
Argentina. Argentina.
Well, no, it's going to be in Brazil next year.
Colombia.
Well, you can probably get some of that.
I'm just kidding.
In Brazil. But it's like the dry or the test run for the World Cup. Make sure that the stadiums are okay.
Who's the favorite to win? Who was the favorite when it went off, do you think? Was it Brazil?
It's
probably Mexico.
No, Mexico's out of it.
Are they already?
Yeah. And
United States?
U.S. isn't in it. It's you know, Mexico won, what is it, South America mostly.
The Southern Hemisphere.
That's CONMEBOL, and that's
the Southern
represented
Hemisphere
by Brazil and Uruguay, I think.
Uruguay.
It's weird how they pick people into it. So it's
Well, come on, talk to me now.
So
who's going to win this thing?
It's Italy, Brazil, or Spain.
Hey, if you want to call in and talk soccer, and especially if you're rooting for one of those teams, give us a call. 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. You can hear yourself on the radio.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on the radio.
I have to imagine, I'm just going to call it, that it's going to be Brazil and Spain will win. That's my, I think if they play, Spain will win, and that'll be the best game of the entire thing. They may meet up earlier on. Those are the two best teams that, you know, whoever knocks each other out of that one, since Brazil beat Italy 4-2 yesterday, great game. The surprise game of this tournament has been Japan versus Italy.
Japan wasn't even supposed to be that good, were they?
No, they're the best in their area. But you know,
sure, but they're out in the middle of the ocean somewhere.
But yeah,
are the Chinese playing? No.
No.
Why not? They got like 800 billion people.
A lot of people say they're the up and coming nation. But after seeing Japan in this tournament, their style of play was very surprisingly efficient. They're not big kickers. They are technically efficient individually. If they can figure out how to turn that into goals and less mistakes, playing Italy, they should have dominated that game, except they had a kind of a BS call on a handball in the box that got a penalty kick, and they also had a really fluky own goal that, you know, 9 times out of 10 would have gone just out into the
right.
You know, but it just happened to hit right on his foot and right into the goal. So they were in the game with Italy, which is one of the best teams in the world. And it was Japan.
Well, Italy's always good. They're always good.
Because
they have a great, like, professional group, a professional league.
But if I had to say pick who's going to win, I can't say Italy with how they played against Japan. They almost had their ass handed to them by Japan.
Well, Matt, like a lot of sports, a lot of times you play down to the level of the team you're playing. Maybe that had something to do with it. What do you think?
That's possible. You know, I can't imagine that Italy. It's not like the NFL where it's just like, you know, this is national pride on top of personal achievement when it comes to your national team. So if you're playing a team that's not as good as you, you dominate, and there's no, oh, we can't run the score up on you because it's no, we will run the score up on you because
we're
going
to run it up. I remember turning the TV on the other night. It was 9-0, and I'm trying to remember who they were beating. Jamaica? No, couldn't have been Jamaica. But it was somebody terrible from Africa.
I think that was Nigeria.
Oh, they were
Spain.
Horrible. It was 9-0. I mean,
you get those kind of games that happen, and because it's not just like it's not just I'm better than you. It's, you know, Italians are better than you, and you know, the Spanish people and the Spanish race is better than you. So that's what it comes down to with world soccer. There's no, oh, they might feel bad. It's, no, you will feel bad, and I will make you feel bad.
Hey, listen, I want to say something. You know, we had Michael Kadire on the show about, 2 weeks ago? We had an interview with Cuddy. It's spring training. And it's one of these interviews you can have anytime. And Michael, of course, is from Great Bridge High School, originally. Mm-hmm. He's from Chesapeake, Virginia. Great guy. He's hitting about 335 with the Colorado Rockies. When he's been in there, they have an incredible win-loss percentage. He's going to make the all-star team, Cuddy is. He can play anywhere. He's 33 or 34 years old. He's been playing, are you ready for this, professional baseball. This is his 16th year. And the Colorado Rockies are in the heat of a playoff race. Now, Cuddy is hit in 21 straight games. He's got a 21-game hitting streak, and he's been on base 37 straight games. Let me tell you something. That ain't easy to do. Not in the National League with all that good pitching. I want to say, Michael Kadire, my hat's off to you, brother. You're doing a great job out there. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for doing the interviews. We're going to have Cuddy on the next time that Colorado comes east. And they will be east again if you look at they're a fun team to watch. I got to watch Colorado in two games this week in Washington, D.C., and he did a great job. We'll see you next week on AM 1230. WFAS, this is Bruce Hall signing off.